You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome to Life Talk. This is your host, Margie Mansko-Breen, Director of the Respect Life Office of the Archdiocese of Chicago. Yes, you heard it right. The Cardinal and Monsignor Richard Hines promoted me to the position of Director of the Respect Life Office, and this is truly breaking news, hot off the presses, so to speak, and I'm really, truly grateful to the Cardinal and Monsignor for this appointment. I sent out an email at the end of the day yesterday, and it was funny, like right away, two of our coordinators emailed, and actually one, oh my gosh, I didn't know you were the director. I mean, they read. This person was actually examining the whole email. I never think that that end part, the signature, people are actually looking at it, Emily. Actually, I have Emily in the studio with me here. Emily, our young adult outreach coordinator, and she's here to kind of help me out this morning because I'm not feeling so well, so she may pick up if I miss something, hey? But welcome to the show, Emily. I'm glad that you could be with us.
Thanks, Margie. Glad to be here.
So did you have a nice Christmas?
I did. It was nice. I stayed in the area, just spent some time with my family and worked. It was great.
Yay.
How was your Christmas?
It was good. Stayed. Christmas was like Christmas Eve and day. We basically stayed around Chicago and just hung out with family. And it was very, very low key. But then we went off to North Carolina, visited my niece and my sister-in-law. And then, I got to play, lots of Elmo toys and Dora the Explorer, learning all about these children toys, for those about 2 years old. And it's fun that, she is learning some words. She understands, when you tell her stuff, and she makes faces. It's the coolest thing, just to see her at that point in her development. And I was so glad to be there. And then we went off to Manhattan for a wedding that my husband was in. He was one of the groomsmen, and it was exciting. I mean, it was just
oh, fun.
Although there was so much trash all over Manhattan, I can't even explain it. Like 5-6 feet high, piles of garbage bags.
Because of the blizzard, right?
Well, yeah. But also, I think there might have been like a garbage strike or something in there, too. That's New York for you. And it makes you value Chicago.
Yeah.
You look at the streets and you say, oh my gosh, it really is beautiful. And even in the even if it's, dirty, maybe there's a big celebration or, the taste or something like that. Our city still is just much more beautiful than New York.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm really biased.
We might be a little bit biased.
So, Christmas, we were just thinking about, we're just talking about Christmas, but, when you think about the Christmas season, many people don't realize that we're still in the Christmas season, as you know, it started on the birth, so Christmas Day, right? Jesus is born, right? And then till the baptism of the Lord, which is this Sunday, is the official end of the Christmas season. Some people say it's even longer, but that's what I saw on the USCCB's website last night. I wanted to confirm that, most people don't realize it, and also with New Year's, I hope that your New Year's, everyone who's listening, I hope your New Year's is starting off well, and I hope that that we all take time, right now at the beginning of the new year, to make the decision to change for the positive. And that positive really could have us recommitting to working harder and smarter to end abortion and to building a culture of life where all human life is protected and respected from conception until natural death. And so throughout this show, I will touch on some ways that you too can get involved in the Respect Life or pro-life movement. There will be two segments to this show, morning show, and during the first segment of the show, we will be joined on the phone by Eric Scheidler of the Pro-Life Action League to discuss the upcoming Speak Out Illinois conference. And then during the second half of the show, we will be joined on the phone also by Sheila Bettinardi. And Sheila is the Vicariate 5 Respect Life Coordinator for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Before we bring Eric on the show, I would like to talk about the significance of January. Because you might be wondering, okay, what's the big deal with January? And you may be new to listening to this station. Well, January is a time where the Respect Life Office in Chicago and dioceses around the United States are extremely busy. On January 22nd, 1973, was the very tragic U.S. Supreme Court decision that legalized abortion on demand for any reason during all 9 months of pregnancy. And so since that day, our country has seen over 53 million abortions, or 3,500 abortions per day on average right now. There were times where the amounts were higher on a daily, the daily average. But now, you know, it's getting lower and lower, which is good. More and more people are pro-life. And the Archdiocese of Chicago, which is made up of Cook and Lake counties, recorded over 26,000 abortions in the last reporting year, which was 2009. So think about that. Just in our archdiocese, over 26,000 unborn babies are aborted. And then you have to think about attach all the women and men who are suffering from that decision, you know, because they make the decision, but then they, in many cases, they make it out of fear, shame. They feel like they have no choice. Some are forced into it. Others, they just were so emotional that it really was the impetus, you know, that forced them into it. So there's a lot of pain out there. And I think I've never talked to a woman who has actually celebrated her abortion experience. Most of them say, I regret it. Even if they try to rationalize it, Emily, I think that they say, well, you know, it was like the lesser of two evils, or, you know, I don't know. It was just like, I had to do it. I didn't know. I didn't have any other choice, but it's done. And, you know, I can't take it back. I wouldn't take it back. Or, you know, I think it was the right decision for me, but I really regret it. I'm like, oh my, you know, it's mm-hmm. really a confusing spot to mm-hmm. be in. But this January, the Archdiocese of Chicago is doing a lot to prayerfully remember this tragedy. And, you know, it's something that the Cardinal would like us to do, and bishops around the United States, and the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. You know, they really want us to do these prayerful activities around the Roe versus Wade and Doe v. Bolton anniversary to solemnly remember and to work to build a culture of life. So we have an annual Mass for Life with Cardinal George on Saturday, January 15th at 5 p.m. at St. Mary of the Angels. That will be a great Mass to be at. And then there's where we can pray together and, you know, witness for life. And there's also the annual March for Life pilgrimage to Washington, D.C. around the January 22nd Roe versus Wade and Doe versus Bolton anniversary. So, you know, we'll talk a little bit about that later in the second segment of the show. And there are many other local events that you can be a part of. And to end the month of remembrances, the Respect Life Office takes part in the annual Speak Out Illinois conference on January 29th. So there are so many things that we can do to remember, to witness for life, and to be active. So, and, you know, I think about all that you can do, and check out our website at respectlifechicago.org, respectlifechicago.org, and you can see some of the things you can do. So when we get back from, we're going to take a break right now. When we get back, we'll be joined by our first guest, Eric Scheidler, to discuss the annual Speak Out Illinois conference. So this is Margie Mansko-Breen, and you are listening to Life Talk on AM 950 Relevant Radio. Stay tuned.
Cardinal George directs the catechetical activities of the Archdiocese of Chicago through the Office for Catechesis and Youth Ministry. Our office promotes lifelong catechesis by directing certification and formative opportunities for those who teach catechesis in the more than 350 parishes that make up the Archdiocese.
Each year we host a myriad of opportunities to enhance adult faith formation and youth ministry programs. We sponsor certification classes, guest speakers, youth rallies, retreats, and our well-attended annual Chicago Catechetical Conference.
We work closely with pastors to ensure that their congregations and staffs are well-formed in teaching and learning about the Catholic faith. Our highly skilled coordinators serve various ethnic groups, speak multiple languages, and are always ready to serve Christ through catechesis.
Log on to www.catechesis-chicago.org or www.youthministry-chicago.org to learn more about how we can better serve you.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
We'll talk with Cardinal George about wrapping up his tour of duty as president of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. We'll hear from a Roman official who came to Chicago to explore possible sainthood for Father Augustus Tolton. And we'll take you to the 25th anniversary celebration for the Archdiocese of Chicago's Spanish language newspaper, Chicago Catolico.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You, compelling television about your Archdiocese.
Welcome back to Life Talk. This is Margie Mansko-Breen, the director of the Respect Life Office for the Archdiocese of Chicago. If you just tuned into the show, we have some breaking news for you on the situation, with the search for our new director of the office. And I was appointed to the position starting officially this past Monday. I'm so thrilled to have been chosen for the job. Woohoo! And Brian, who's our producer, board operator behind the glass, is like doing cheering in the background. And I'm also joined in the studio by Emily Warpinski, our young adult outreach coordinator for the Respect Life office. Emily is here to contribute mostly in the second half of the show, but I value her input as part of this discussion on life issues. At this time, I would like to welcome Eric Scheidler, Executive Director of the Pro-Life Action League, which was founded in 1980 by his father, veteran pro-life leader Joe Scheidler, to fight abortion through nonviolent direct action. He is the oldest of seven Scheidler children. Since August of 2007, he's headed the grassroots pro-life group Fox Valley Families Against Planned Parenthood, which is dedicated to shutting down the nation's largest abortion facility, which opened in Aurora, Illinois, under a cloud of deception and controversy. Eric speaks frequently on pro-life issues to audiences around the country. He lives in Aurora, Illinois, with his wife, April, and their eight wonderful children. Welcome to the show, Eric, and thank you for being with us.
Glad to be here today.
Well, as you know, I invited you on the show to promote our upcoming Speak Out Illinois conference on January 29th, but I would be remiss not to ask you to share with our listeners about what happened with you in Aurora. You know, what happened there? What did you see in the community? It was just such an interesting situation. And I think, you know, not everybody knows about what you went through there. And I think that has a lot to do with your, you know, with the booklet, the handbook you put together, sharing the pro-life message.
Yeah, well, you know, I've been working in the pro-life movement for some years already, you know, working with my parents as communications director for the Pro-Life Action League. And lo and behold, we discovered that Planned Parenthood, the nation's largest abortion provider, was going to be trying to open a facility in my own hometown where I live in Aurora. It seemed ironic, you know, that the what was at that time going to be the largest abortion clinic in the country would be opening up just a few miles from the home of a pro-life activist, you know, belonging to a national organization with a lot of notoriety. It seems like Planned Parenthood really failed to do their homework there. So
we, yeah, they dropped the ball, right, on the research?
They really did. I mean, they didn't pick up on the fact that Aurora was going to be a hotbed. We, you know, we launched a vigil, and from that it grew into many, many visits to the city council, packing the city council with protests and protests outside, and newspapers started to pay attention, and the TV stations, and became a national news story. Major protests on the TV all the time. The head of Planned Parenthood, Cecile Richards, actually called Aurora ground zero in the abortion battle a day after I said the same thing and emailed the supporters, so I don't know if she was stealing my material, but it really became a great hotbed and was, for me, kind of a baptism by fire in pro-life leadership, because I had to suddenly be responsible for, you know, protests of upwards of 1,200, 1,500 people, you know, being on national television, talking about this issue all the time to reporters, to members of the community, to politicians, to neighbors and friends and people who just didn't, you know, want to have to deal with controversy in their community. And from that whole experience, I gained a lot of insight into how we can most effectively share this message about the sanctity of life, about our responsibility for protecting it, and for spreading this gospel of life in our culture. And that's really where this handbook, Sharing the Pro-Life Message, came from, that the Pro-Life Action League first published a couple of years ago, in which I'm going to be presenting at the Speak Out Illinois conference later this month.
And, you know, it's phenomenal, and how, and I think I've never looked at the back page where it says it was composed, you know, who composed the book, and, you know, and then at the end you have handbook designed by Michelle Dellinger, and she was one of those people that I don't think was really involved in pro-life until the, you know, the clinic was opening.
That's right. I mean, she's one of many. This was a graphic artist who was got involved because she was a, you know, good Catholic who had, I guess, recently been sort of looking for ways to live out her faith more meaningfully, and lo and behold, decided to get involved with the fight against Planned Parenthood and offered her graphic design skills to some early projects that we were doing. And when we wanted to put together this handbook, you know, she was the one we decided on because we'd seen how great her work was. And,
yeah,
you know, it's really a beautiful thing that God's able to use people's skills in this way to, you know, advance the kingdom through all the different gifts that he's given us.
Well, yeah, I mean, you all seem to be really open to the movement of the Holy Spirit, right? And how you somehow picked Aurora to live in, of all
right.
places, you know. And when did you move there exactly?
I had been there. I've been living there for 2 years.
Okay.
Before Planned Parenthood came to town, and it all kind of made sense once they were opening up. This is where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah, it's God put you in that place for a reason.
But you know what? He does that for everybody.
Yeah.
And, you know, everyone listening right now, why are you listening to this radio show about sharing the pro-life message and about this incredible conference that's coming up in just a few days? Well, I think you got to ask yourself, is the Holy Spirit trying to prompt me to do something here and come to this conference and learn more about the pro-life message and how you can be a more effective disciple? Because really, this is not, I mean, not everyone's going to be asked to do what, you know, what I've done, or Margie, what you've done, and congratulations, by the way, on your appointment, being responsible for the Archdiocese and Respect Life Office.
Thank you.
Not everyone's going to be drawn to those kinds of leadership positions where you're kind of out front, but every one of us, I really believe this, has a responsibility to do what we can. I mean, the abortion holocaust is so almost incomprehensibly evil, 3,500 unborn babies a day being killed in our country. How can we stand by and just let that happen? You know, we've got to do something about it.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense, does it? I mean, that it's more than a tragedy. I mean, it's just horrendous.
Even the words fail, you know.
Yeah.
But rather than feeling a sense of hopelessness or despair or desperation, we need to recognize how much impact each one of us can have. There are little babies alive today because somebody had, for example, our Sharing the Pro-Life Message handbook in their pocket. At that moment when someone told them about, you know, their friend who was pregnant or themselves being pregnant, you know, we've saved babies with these handbooks. And this was regular people who just, you know, answered the call of the Holy Spirit to compassionately, prayerfully just reach out and offer the pro-life view on this issue instead of kind of hiding behind the fears that so many of us have. And coming to a conference like Speak Out Illinois is a great opportunity to really step up and do something a little bit more.
Also, it's for, I mean, all levels of involvement. So if you're new to it, it's for you, and you'll find a place, you know, you'll find, I guess, help, you know, in getting more involved. But if you've been involved in the pro-life movement for a while, you know, come and get re-energized, you know, see your friends, fellowship, hear a good talk, you know, from like keynote speaker, from yourself. Actually, we have to head to another break at this moment. When we return, we'll continue this chat with Eric Scheidler of the Pro-Life Action League. So stay tuned for more Life Talk. This is your host, Margie Mansko-Breen.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is written by our publisher, Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities throughout Cook and Lake Counties.
Are you constantly on the go? Then stay connected to your church by visiting CatholicNewWorld.com and sign up to follow us on Twitter.
That's CatholicNewWorld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and if you haven't already, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777.
Your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
God bless you, and Christ's peace be with you. This is Mary Norfleet Johnson, Director of the Office for Black Catholics in the Archdiocese of Chicago. The Office for Black Catholics is a vital and integral part of the Catholic worship community here in Chicago. Our agency serves people of color, encompassing African American, Haitian, African, Afro-Latino, and Caribbean natives. Contact us and learn how to enhance your neighborhoods, your families, and your faith through various initiatives and events designed to strengthen your relationship with Jesus Christ. Our office is located in the Cardinal Meyer Center at 35th and Lake Park Avenue. Call us at 312-534-8376 or visit our ever-changing website at www.blackcatholicchicago.org. We look forward to serving you and your community.
Welcome back to Life Talk. This is your host, Margie Mansko-Breen. Now, we've been chatting with a really interesting pro-life leader, Eric Scheidler of the Pro-Life Action League. Eric, we were discussing the issue of your little handbook and how this can be, you know, really helpful because you have in there one thing that stuck out to me is the question about why does this handbook use the term pro-choice? And I'm, you know, when you look at it, that makes sense. You know, if we use the word pro-abortion, it's kind of a lightning rod, you know, in certain circles, you know, and in order to keep the conversation flowing, right, you want to, you know, use terms that aren't as out there and aggressive, right?
Well, you know, I think sometimes there's a tendency towards what I would call self-righteousness in the pro-life movements. There's really two tendencies. One is towards fear. Towards a bashfulness about talking about the pro-life message. So a big part of this handbook is to encourage people, and of my talk on Speak Out and also of the whole conference, is to encourage people to engage, not be afraid, to give them the tools and confidence they need, the techniques that they need in order to be courageous in presenting the pro-life message. But there's also the sort of going too far problem of of self-righteousness that makes arguing about abortion not about trying to dialogue or convince or reach out and make a relationship with somebody, but rather about feeling like we've got all the right answers and you know, we've said all the right things and believe all the right things. And I think that the term pro-choice is kind of a place where a lot of that happens. If, you know, I get a lot of flack sometimes from people for using that term. I know it's a euphemism. I recognize it's an empty term. It's meant to cover up the thing that they're trying to support the choice for, which is abortion, the killing of an unborn child. But when you call somebody who supports legal abortion, say a term like a pro-abort, or worse yet, a baby killer or something like that, well, it may be technically true in some ways. It turns them off. You're not going to be able to reach them anymore. That conversation's now over. So go ahead and say pro-choice. You know what the term really is, and it's really just more of an act of respect, and I think can help to build some important bridges for reaching out to those who don't share our belief that the unborn child has an inherent value.
That is definitely good what you're pointing out. Now, you're involved. Are you involved with the planning of Teen Speak?
I sure am.
Okay. And because I was looking at, I was really excited, actually. I was at one of the planning meetings for Speak Out, for the adult portion, at least. And we were being briefed on the teen portion. And I was so excited. It just sounded like it was going to be a great day for teens when I heard who was being brought in to speak. And it really, I think, you know, I'd like you to explain a little bit about your main speaker for Teen Speak, and kind of relate it to what we've been talking about. You know, how to share the message, because this woman had a big conversion, and it didn't happen in one meeting. You know, it didn't happen overnight. So, what, you know, tell us a little bit about her.
Well, you know, what we're trying to do as a movement is to try to reach as many Americans as we can, one by one, and bring them over to our side. And someone like Linda Curry is a sort of a special example of that, because this was a woman who worked for Planned Parenthood. And she's also had her own experience with abortion personally. So she brings a tremendous conversion story to the Teen Speak program, and I'm just really excited to get to hear her myself. You know, the insider's view on abortion is one of the most valuable tools we can get, because we need to know how these guys think, what makes them tick, who they really are, what motivates them, if we're going to try to change their minds about abortion or be able to effectively counteract the message that they're presenting to women when they go to the abortion clinics. So this is just going to be an amazing program. And, you know, the Teen Speak element of the Speak Out Day has really grown in recent years, and we keep getting record turnouts. We had Lila Rose of Live Action, who's done all these undercover exposés of Planned Parenthood. We had her last year. Brian Kemper of Stand True Ministries, great pro-life, international pro-life youth leader, the year before that. So just a fantastic program. You know, encourage any teens out there to come to it. You will really have a great time. And we have a lot of fun, too. I mean, last year we had this amazing T-shirt contest, designing pro-life T-shirts, and you know, the kids just had a blast. It was really fun to judge it and to see all the creative ideas that they had. Fantastic event.
Well, yeah, and so any adults that are listening and saying, oh, yeah, you know, my teen should go to this, or, you know, my granddaughter or grandson should go to this, well, you can come too. You know, come to the adult segment, the adult portion of the day, and learn and be around other people and get fired up and find out how you can get involved. There's so many things that you can do and so much information to learn. What else is, so can you kind of explain the day for the adults at this actual Speak Out conference?
Yeah, well, this is, you know, it's all taking place on the 29th of January, just a few weeks from now. Plenty of time still to register. You can go to Speak Out Illinois to register and find out more, read about the speakers and see the pictures and stuff. We're going to have Ken Blackwell, the Family Research Council, speaking.
And what's his claim to fame? I think I heard he was involved in politics and working in the government or something in Ohio?
He's been involved with the Club for Growth, the National Taxpayers Union, American Conservative Union. Significantly, he is an African-American, so very encouraging to be getting the testimony of that community, which is, of course, heavily impacted by abortion.
Definitely.
So a very important voice for the cause for life.
And then what else do we have that day?
Well, we've got some other breakout sessions. There's myself speaking on sharing the pro-life message, and we've got presentations on dealing with churches and activism on the state level and so forth. I think probably the most exciting part of the program after Ken Blackwell's speech will be a special address by David B. Wright.
Mm.
I'm sure listeners may be familiar with David, and certainly with his 40 Days for Life campaign. The Speak Out Committee is honoring David with the Henry Hyde Leadership Award. And, Henry Hyde was an Illinois congressman, very incredible champion for the sanctity of life, probably responsible for saving the lives of millions of unborn babies through the Hyde Amendment that banned federal funds from being used in abortion.
And he did that all early on as a congressman when
way
he was young, and
70,
he had no authority, no power. You know, you usually get more authority as as years pass, as you serve
Henry
longer.
Henry Hyde became the great elder statesman, but from very early on, he was a great champion for the unborn and a friend of my father's, and a witness at my father's trial, speaking out in on behalf of his good character. So the award is named after Henry Hyde, the Henry Hyde Leadership Award, Life Leadership Award, and David B. Wright is receiving that this year. I'm very excited to see David again. And if you've ever participated in a 40 Days for Life campaign, this is the guy who started it all, and you really should come out and hear what he has to say. He's a fantastic voice.
Well, wonderful. Thank you, Eric, for joining us, and it was a pleasure to have you as our special guest in the first segment. God bless your work. We're going to head to a break now. This is your host, Margie Mansko-Breen, so stay tuned for more.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the 3 R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son isn't a number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Each night, thousands of families face homelessness in Chicago. Those families aren't just statistics. They're your neighbors, your friends. They could even be part of your own family.
I had lost my job, so I wasn't working, and I had run out of all my savings, so I ended up losing my apartment. And I went to stay with my sister, but she's got this small little itty-bitty condo, so we were all sleeping on the floor. So I started calling around for the housings and everything, and they told me to call Catholic Charities, and it just happened when I got through. Joanne answered the phone, and she goes, you got me just at the right time. We're actually doing interviews right now. You want to come in? And gave me the whole rundown of everything and how the program works and everything. She goes, is this something you can do? And I looked at her and says, you're offering me a roof over my head, something more than I've got right now, and I'm willing to do anything to keep that roof over my head.
Catholic Charities of Chicago is there to provide a helping hand to the homeless. Find out how to help us help the most needy. Visit CatholicCharities.net.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back to Life Talk. This is your host, Margie Mansko-Breen, Director of the Respect Life Office, and I'm joined in the studio by Emily Borpinski, our Young Adult Outreach Coordinator. At this time, I would like to welcome Sheila Bettinardi, Vicariate 5 Respect Life Coordinator and parishioner at St. Alexander's in Palos Heights, I believe. I always get those mixed up. Palos Hills, Heights, you know. Sorry. Also, Sheila is a stay-at-home mom, and she's just a real go-getter, got a lot of energy, and wants to build a culture of life. So welcome to the show, Sheila.
Hi, Margie. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's good to have you with us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, no problem. And I remember, so yesterday I was telling you, Sheila, right? Yeah, it's just like talking on the phone. So.
Right.
We'll have a good time.
Yeah.
You know, if it's like that, we could probably talk for an hour. So
that's true. We always do have nice, long conversations. I always have to go pick up my kids.
So yeah, that, right.
That stops us. So I have till 2:30.
Okay. We'll be done before that.
Okay.
So they're back in school today.
They are back in school,
You're
yes.
probably yes. glad for that?
A little bit. You know, it's great to have them home. We have fun. We do a lot of things as a family. But they need a schedule as well, you know,
sure.
to get back on track. So,
I really wanted you on the show so you could share with our listeners first about, you know, what you are, what you have been doing and what you are planning to do with Vicariate 5. I mean, just kind of your, you know, we had some great things over the last year or so, and just kind of to reflect back on them, because many people don't know, you know, what you all have been doing in Vicariate 5. And secondly, I'd like you to discuss what you are planning in the Vicariate for January to solemnly remember the, you know, 38 years of abortion on demand, you know, since the Supreme Court decisions. But before we get into all those details, what is a Vicariate coordinator?
Okay, a Vicariate, well, every in the Archdiocese, there's 6 Vicariates, and I'm in charge of the Vicariate 5, which is around maybe 70, 80 churches. So there's many, many churches in Vicariate 5. And at each parish, we would love to have a coordinator to represent the Respect Life ministry. And so ideally the pastor, you know, will look for someone, or someone may come to the pastor and want to be the coordinator. And it's a very easy job. It's not hard, really, to guide the parish on Respect Life issues. And through the Archdiocese office, we'll be, you know, you get many, many wonderful support and guidance through your office. So it's to give the parish an awakening and just keep the pro-life movement alive at every parish.
So, like, Vicariate 5 is kind of like southwest, right, wouldn't you say?
Right, right. The
from
southwest
the city
side.
Into the suburbs.
Yes.
And, yeah, and so... So you have people all the way from, what is it, like Tinley Park, or, you know,
right.
all the way up to Midway, you know?
Right. It covers a large area. We just, this past October, we had our Mass with Bishop Gustavo, and that was at Our Lady of Fatima, and that's at, like, 29th in California. So it's east and, you know, north as well, but it's a large, large area.
And that was a great Mass. I mean, you know, I was surprised because, you know, we had a lot of trouble planning it and all that because we didn't have a coordinator there.
Right.
So,
it was beautiful.
Beautiful.
It was beautiful. It was Bishop Gustavo led the Mass, and it actually was trilingual. We even had a woman do a reading in Polish and Spanish, and Father Hyde led us in a pro-life rosary before the Mass began, and which was beautiful, and he also did that bilingual. And many, many, the church was packed with families and children, and it was a wonderful sight to see.
And then Bishop Gustavo, who has now moved to another diocese, he, you know, he's going to be greatly missed, but he brought up all the pregnant women.
Right, yes.
And to bless them.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting because there were a lot of local families that came, and you could tell that these are folks that, you know, many of them might be struggling financially because of the economy, and he spoke to that. You know, he said, you know, we're looking at Mary, you know, Our Lady, and following God's will, right, and saying yes.
Yes.
And how they said yes to their pregnancies, to having their children, even though they might be experiencing, you know, hard times. So it was really, it was an amazing experience for me. And, you know, more and more people, if they want to get involved in this, they can call the Respect Life office at 312-534-5355. If you think you want to be a parish Respect Life coordinator, I think it's, you know, it's a wonderful, wonderful ministry. And, you know, go for it. You know, call us. We'll tell you more about it and give you some tips and how to approach your pastor and see maybe he'd be willing to appoint you to that position. It's a volunteer position, but it's really worth it. But right now we're going to have to head to a break. And when we get back, we're going to continue this important discussion with Sheila Bettinardi. So stay tuned.
I'm Lisa Paletto, the Catholic Charities Junior Board Manager, and this is the Junior Board Mission Minute. 60 seconds of the latest and greatest updates on events and opportunities for you to get involved. Thanks for all of your help with our Christmas programs. Don't stop now. Start the new year right with an evening of bingo and great conversation with the residents at one of our senior homes on January 2nd. Emergency assistance food packing on the first and third Tuesday of the month at 6 p.m. and the Divine Affair Wine Tasting Preview Party on January 6th at 6 p.m. at 721 North LaSalle. The Junior Board consists of about 300 young professionals who are interested in giving back to the community. Whether you're looking for a leadership role, an opportunity to grow in your spiritual life, a calendar of social events, or structured volunteer activities, there's something for you on the Junior Board. There's always a way to help your neighbor at Catholic Charities. Consider joining our Junior Board. For more information on these events and others, call 312-655-7932 or visit CatholicCharities.net. And of course, stay tuned for the next Junior Board Mission Minute.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298. Or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
Welcome back to Life Talk. This is Margie Mansko-Breen with the Respect Life Office of the Archdiocese of Chicago. And we were discussing, Emily and I were discussing with Sheila Bettinardi, our Vicariate 5 Respect Life Coordinator, just what does she do? You know, what is a Vicariate Coordinator and how can people get involved and all that? But Sheila, how did you get involved? Because that, I think, is an interesting story because I didn't know you until after you got involved as the Vicariate Coordinator.
Right. Well, Margie, actually, I have to say it was through the Lord, through the Holy Spirit. I always, you know, loved children. I did go to college, and I got a degree in speech pathology, so I worked with little children for at least 10 years before I had my own kids. And I always prayed to God, and I said, God, how can I help the abortion movement? How can I help try to save these little babies, you know, in a very little way? And I prayed and I prayed, and one day I was home with my three children and I got a call from your office, and it was Mary Louise, and she just said, you know, would you like this job, Vicariate 5 Respect Life Coordinator? I had no idea what it was or what it was going to be, but it was an answer to my prayers. And since that, I think it's been like 6 years, I can't even remember, but since that day I said yes, it has been wonderful. and I feel blessed, and I've met so many wonderful, wonderful people. The Respect Life ministry is wonderful, and I can't say enough about it. I hope, you know, and pray every day that something, you know, comes from all this. I know it will, because as I've told our coordinators, Christ is our hope, and with Christ we can get through this, anything.
Now was Bishop Gustavo at all involved in like kind of nominating you? Is that what happened?
You know what, we had a priest friend at Incarnation was my parish at the time, and Father Peter, and he's at St. Walter's now, and I believe he had mentioned something to the cardinal, the Bishop Gustavo, that, you know, I had a desire and an interest to be involved with pro-life, and mentioned it to Bishop Gustavo, and I guess Bishop Gustavo said something to Mary Louise, and that's how it all started.
Now, Emily and I were talking about the whole thing with, you know, what's going on at Mother Macaulay, the high school for girls.
Yes.
Now, Emily, you had mentioned that it's really exciting to see, you know, all these, you know, hear about all these young women getting involved in pro-life.
Yeah, it's been great, especially Mother Macaulay, and to see all these high schools and these young girls. And Sheila, is this the first year that they've had a pro-life club?
It is, yes, it is.
And isn't it, like, a huge one? Like, that's just amazing.
Goodness. The first meeting, they had a meeting in September, and there were 90 girls came to the meeting. And there are 41 girls going to the pilgrimage to the Washington, D.C. March for Life in a couple weeks.
Wow.
I'll be going with them. So
I'm so excited.
Yeah. So
we'll get to
exciting.
Hang out with Sheila.
they are so excited. I can't even tell you. They've been talking about this march, and they have a meeting. They have a meeting every month, and they pick a life topic. And their goal is to teach the girls and talk about, you know, all Respect Life. You know, not only the abortion issue, but they've talked and they've gone to Misericordia and helped the little children. They've gone to nursing homes with the elderly, and so they're talking all of life. And it's just, they're so on fire. There's two seniors, and we're going to be so sad to, you know, lose them, but they really pushed and got this going at Macaulay, and I can't tell you enough how much, you know, it's been wanted, needed, and it's so exciting to see these girls just on fire for life.
Now, didn't you say, you mentioned something, that they were so excited that you thought that they were making sweatshirts or something?
Right, they're getting sweatshirts made up with, you know, Macaulay Respect Life Club, and they want to, you know, bring this to the march and get a banner with Macaulay High School on it, and, you know, they're very proud of their school, and they're very proud to be part of the march and just the whole Respect Life ministry. There's been other schools. Brother Rice is the boys' school next to Macaulay, and they want to be a part of Macaulay Respect Life Club, and the girls are thinking, well, maybe you guys should have your own, you know.
Definitely. But they just want to be around those young girls, the teenagers.
Right. The word is spreading, and that's another part of, you know, the parish is we work with them, but also within the parish there's, you know, not only the grammar schools, but our high schools that we can reach out to and share all the wonderful things that are going on in the Archdiocese and the, you know, all over for the pro-life movement.
Wonderful. Now, how is your parish getting involved to prayerfully and solemnly remember the 38th anniversary of the Roe versus Wade, you know, U.S. Supreme Court decision that legalized abortion on demand? I know annually, around January 22nd, every year we ask parishes to have, you know, some type of a prayer activity, a vigil for life, a holy hour, whatever you call it, but just to do something, prayer rosary, Divine Mercy chaplet, have Eucharistic adoration in many cases. How are you guys going to be doing something this year?
Yes, at St. Alexander, we're going to have pro-life Eucharistic adoration, and it'll be right in the church, and it's following our 8:45 Mass, and we'll have, you know, Holy Hour all day long until benediction at 3:45, I believe it is. So we have people sign up every hour to be there, and conclude it with a benediction.
And is it going to be on the 22nd?
On the 22nd,
yes. Wonderful.
Yeah.
It's so hard sometimes to get people to actually do it on the actual date, but we then encourage them at least, you know, somewhere nearby, you know?
Right, somewhere around there.
Around it, like 21st, 23rd, but just to really be a part of it. And, you know, when we were remembering the 30th anniversary, when it was just after, it was just just around the time I started with the Archdiocese, and I remember calling all the parishes to, you know, promote it and say, hey, we want every parish to do some type of prayer activity on or around that date. And then, you know, we had, I think, 60 parishes that got involved. You know, many of them teamed up with local parishes, like two or three parishes in the area to put on a vigil. And it was a really nice thing. We put these posters together. They were really beautiful, and it listed every parish. And I believe the time, the day and the time, you know, of their little, you know, like holy hour or vigil. So this is definitely something that we want people to get involved in. So basically, you're doing a lot of great work, and you're juggling a family and all that. You know, thank you for, you know, for your service to the Archdiocese and to the Vicariate. You know, it was great to have you on the discussion here. You know, I'm just so blessed that you could be a part of this. So thank you for being with us, Sheila, and God bless your ministry. This is your host, Margie Mansko-Breen. Stay tuned to Life Talk.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
The Catholic New World has been your faith resource for well over a century. Archbishop Patrick Feehan recognized the need for a strong Catholic voice in 1892 and launched Chicago's first Catholic newspaper. Bishop Feehan named our Catholic newspaper using a theme from the Columbian Exposition, the New World that gave people hope for a brighter future. Today, the Catholic New World is better than ever. It's a rich and diverse resource for Chicagoland Catholics with stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Cardinal Francis George and our team of columnists offer compelling insights on spirituality, catechesis, and evangelization. Visit our website at catholicnewworld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777. Our look has changed, but we are still your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Welcome back to Life Talk. This is Margie Mansko-Breen with Emily Warpinski, and we are talking about issues that make a difference in your life, our lives, all about life, respecting life from conception till natural death, and all the way in between. And if you want to find out more information about what we do, you can check out our website. It's not the greatest, but it does have some very good information on there. It's respectlifechicago.org. respectlifechicago.org. If you also, you know, if you want to just talk to one of us about, you know, options, how, you know, you can get involved in your, you know, community, if you're a young adult, we have a junior board that we're kind of going to restart. It was sort of on a hiatus for a few months, but, you know, with all the change in staff and everything, we're going to start that up again. And Emily would be the one you would talk to about getting involved in that if you are a young adult. So Emily, what is it all about? What are you looking to do right now? And how can people get in touch with you?
Well, I'm really excited because I am trying to get this young adult board, which is called the Culture of Life Board, restarted. And I think we're shooting for the first week in February to have our meeting. And we just are looking for new people and new ideas. And our mission statement is, to transform our society from a culture of death into a culture of life. And how can we as young adults go about doing that? And, we have a lot of great people on the young adult board, and we're always looking for new ideas and new ways to spread that message of life.
Wonderful. And so how do they get in touch with you?
Oh, then give me a call, 312-534-8792, or send me an email, go to our website. Track me down. Let me know you're interested. Like I said, we're always looking for people who want to get involved.
Wonderful. And, it's also important, even for, for young adults, for people of all ages, to get involved and to get out and pray at their local abortion clinic, because it's important to be that witness of hope. And I think Eric Scheidler really said it well, about why it's important to be out there. And, he was really talking about his handbook, sharing the pro-life message. But just being there, many lives have been saved by folks just praying outside of the clinic, not even talking to people, mm-hmm. and you'll hear about it later, or maybe you won't, that you had an impact. So there are many places that you can pray, but I'm going to talk just briefly about some of these opportunities in the Archdiocese. But you can find out if you just check the website prolifeaction.org. Or you could call the Pro-Life Action League at 773-777-2900, and they can tell you what are the different schedules. But basically, if you're on the northwest side of Chicago, there's the Albany Medical Surgical Center, and they pray Thursday mornings, Friday mornings, Friday p.m., and Saturday mornings. And most people are free on Saturdays, so Saturday 8 to noon, they're out there praying. So you can just stop by, make a commitment to spending an hour every week if you can. If you can't, maybe monthly. There are people that go out monthly. There are people that go out weekly. There are people that just go when they can. It's really up to you. Just pray about it and see what God is asking you to do in this area. And again, not everybody does the same thing in the pro-life cause and the respect life cause. We all are called to do different things, but I think it's important to once in a while to get out there just to see what's going on, to be there. It's like almost like being at the foot of the cross, just being there at the site of this, tragedy, and just praying with these folks and praying for the folks who are going in to possibly have an abortion, and hopefully not, and that they would choose life. There are other locations and Des Plaines. There's the Planned Parenthood on LaSalle and Division. Their big time is Saturday from 10 to noon. If you want to bring a group out there earlier, that's good too, because I think, abortions start at probably 6 or 7 a.m. in the morning. So, but all of this you can coordinate it through by calling the Pro-Life Action League again at 773-777-2900, and they can help direct you in the right direction so that you can get out there and be a part of this. And also, to be, next year, because our March for Life trip is full, is to plan on being with us if you can for next year's trip. I don't have all the details, but it's going to be an exciting one this year, and I hate to rub it in if you're not coming. But you can even still come on your own, gather some friends and drive out and stay in a hotel somewhere together, save some money, but just get out there and experience it and march with these folks. So, there's so much to do. And there's the Spring 40 Days for Life campaign will be taking place March 9th until April 17th. Now, we're not leading it in Chicago, but there's going to be someone locally in the Chicagoland area that is doing this. There's so many abortion clinics. So what you do is check out 40daysforlife.com, 40daysforlife.com. for more details. So it was a great show, Emily. Thank you for being with me and putting up with my cold. But we had a great time and great discussion. And we look forward to being with you next month at the same time, same, you know, first Wednesday of the month, 9 to 10. It's good to be with you. And God bless you all for what you do to build a culture of life.